So picture this. It is 2026, and you can literally buy, I don't know, $50 worth of a $500 million commercial high-rise while you're just standing in line for a flat white.
Right, yeah. And you can actually collect your first fraction of rent on that building before you even reach the barista.
Exactly. It's wild. But you know, the real question we have to ask today is, should you?
Well, I mean, it is the ultimate collision of two completely different worlds, really.
Yeah, totally.
You've got the instant borderless liquidity of decentralized finance, and it is just crashing headfirst into the absolute slowest, most immovable asset class in human history.
Which is real estate.
Yeah.
Welcome to this deep dive, everyone. I'm so glad you could join us today because, well, our mission is decoding this exact collision. We're looking at the rapidly growing world of tokenized property investment platforms.
Because, for anyone managing a crypto portfolio today, purely digital assets, just they aren't the only game in town anymore.
No, not at all. The new frontier, the sector that is pulling in massive institutional capital right now, is real-world assets. Or RWAs.
Yeah, we are witnessing just a massive shift in how capital flows. I mean, the market is aggressively moving away from those purely speculative, kind of siloed digital environments.
Right.
And it's actively building bridges to assets that are actually anchored in tangible reality.
And to help us navigate this shift, we're pulling from this incredibly comprehensive guide published on the Usul Gamma blog.
It's a great breakdown.
It really is. The source material breaks down exactly what you need to look for, before you deploy your capital into these platforms.
Oh.
So in this deep dive, we are going to accomplish three specific things.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, we are going to map out the actual mechanisms of how these platforms work. Second, we're going to learn how to identify the failure points of, well, untrustworthy platforms.
Crucial, absolutely crucial.
Right. And third, and probably most importantly, we're going to learn how to audit the actual physical properties hiding behind those shiny digital tokens.
Which is arguably the most critical part of the entire equation, because a digital token is really only ever as good as the physical concrete it represents.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can evaluate specific platforms, we really need to understand the underlying mechanics here.
Yeah, we have to start with the basics.
Right, because we aren't talking about buying shares in a traditional REIT here. This is different.
Very different, yeah.
The metaphor I keep coming back to when I was reading the Usul Gamma Guide is that it's less like buying a piece of a giant corporate pie, and it's more like digitally wiring a single brick of a specific building directly to your crypto wallet.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and then that brick just drips a few cents of rent into your account every single day.
That is actually a highly accurate way to visualize the mechanism. I mean, at its core, tokenization is just taking an illiquid asset, right, like real estate, and creating a digital twin of its ownership rights on a blockchain.
Okay, but how does that actually work legally?
Well, in practice, this usually involves creating what's called a special purpose vehicle, or an SPV.
Right, an SPV.
Yeah, so the SPV is just a legal entity that actually holds the physical deed to the property. It owns the building.
Got it.
Then the ownership of that SPV itself is what gets fractionalized into digital tokens. So when you hold that token in your wallet, you are holding a legally recognized, cryptographically secured fraction of that specific SPV.
And so by extension, you own a fraction of the actual building.
Exactly.
Wow. And the motivation for moving capital here is pretty clear when you look at it. The source material outlines why investors are migrating, and the first major driver they mention is diversification.
Which makes total sense, right?
Complete sense. I mean, traditional crypto markets are just exhausting.
Oh, absolutely. They really are.
You can have this flawlessly constructed DeFi portfolio, and then, a single macro event can wipe out 20% of its fiat value in a single weekend.
Yeah, it's brutal. But what's fascinating here is how that diversification actively alters the overall risk profile of your portfolio.
Oh, so.
Well, real estate simply does not correlate with the wild volatility of digital token markets. By moving funds into tokenized property, you are basically pegging a portion of your portfolio to concrete.
It just operates on an entirely different economic frequency than your standard crypto assets.
Exactly. And that brings us to the second driver the guide highlights, which is passive income.
Ah, yeah, the Holy Grail.
Right. These tokens are yielding assets, but unlike staking a digital token where the yield usually comes from, network inflation or token emission.
Yeah, the magical internet money printing.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. The yield here comes from real-world tenant rent, You're tapping into an organic fiat revenue stream without ever having to negotiate a commercial lease.
Or like wake up at 2 a.m. to replace a shattered window.
Exactly. No property management headaches.
And then the third driver they mention is balance. You're maintaining the UX of crypto, essentially.
The self-custody, the instant settlement, the global accessibility.
Right. You get all of that while gaining exposure to traditional, stable economic fundamentals.
It's the best of both worlds.
But okay, let me push back on this premise for just a second.
Sure, go ahead.
Because traditional real estate investing works, right? We have an entire global economy built on it. People have been doing it for centuries.
Sure.
So why inject blockchain into a process that is already so globally established? Like, what does this technology actually solve that a regular real estate fund doesn't?
One word. Friction.
Friction. Okay.
If you look closely at traditional real estate investing, I mean, it is just plagued by friction. You are constantly dealing with this labyrinth of intermediaries.
Oh, yeah. Brokers, right. Lawyers, title insurance companies.
Escrow agents.
Yeah.
Legacy banking systems. And every single one of those intermediaries extracts a fee.
Right. Everyone takes their cut.
And they add days or even weeks to a transaction. The blockchain fundamentally circumvents all of this by introducing a shared, immutable ledger combined with smart contracts.
Right. So it takes this giant, cumbersome, paper-heavy machine and just replaces it with a transparent glass engine where you can literally see all the gears turning.
Exactly. Because a smart contract is just an automated piece of code, right? It executes actions the exact second that predefined conditions are met.
So it's like an incorruptible, automated property manager.
That's a great way to put it. Say you sell your token to another investor. The smart contract updates the capitalization table of that SPV instantly.
Instantly. No waiting for a title company to process paperwork for 30 days.
None of that. It's done.
Okay. That sounds incredibly elegant in code. But code can't physically evict a tenant who stops paying their rent.
No, it cannot.
Or, you know, fix a collapsed roof. So where does the automated smart contract meet the messy reality of property law? Like, how does the blockchain actually know the real-world tenant paid their rent?
That is the crucial question, and it's what we often refer to as the oracle problem.
The oracle problem.
Yeah, because blockchains are closed systems. They don't natively know anything about what happens in the physical world outside of their network.
So they need a translator.
Basically, yeah. This is where specialized data feeds, known as oracles, bridge the gap. In a reputable, tokenized real estate setup, a real-world property management company still handles the actual physical building.
Okay, so there are still humans checking the roof.
Yes, absolutely. And when they collect the fiat rent from the tenants and deposit it into the SPV's bank account, an audited API acts as an oracle. It signals the smart contract on the blockchain. And then the smart contract automatically converts that fiat into stable coins and distributes it proportionally to every single wallet holding a token.
Okay, so the technical bridge between the code and the concrete definitely exists.
It does. It's very real.
But, you know, a solid bridge can still lead to a terrible destination. The Ossol Gamma Guide warns that not all of these platforms are built the same.
Oh, far from it.
And here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because you can have a platform operating on flawless, heavily audited smart contracts, but if they are, say, obscuring the actual property valuation history, it's a massive trap.
Precisely, which is why evaluating the platform's transparency is your absolute primary defense mechanism.
Right.
The blockchain provides the infrastructure for transparency, sure, but the platform has to actually utilize it.
If they hide the data, the blockchain doesn't help you.
Exactly. If you cannot easily locate exhaustive details about a property, like its exact geographical location, independent third-party appraisals, transparent expected returns, and clearly defined risk factors, you should immediately walk away.
Yeah. I mean, if I can track a $15 food delivery on a map in real time, I should absolutely be able to see the independent appraisal history of a building I'm investing in.
Right. It should be the bare minimum.
And that transparency has to extend to their legal framework, too, right?
Yeah.
Because in 2026, if a platform's regulatory structure is essentially just some shell company registered in a jurisdiction known for zero oversight,
then they are a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
They are a massive liability. The regulatory landscape for RWAs is actively enforcing compliance now. You must look for platforms that operate within clear, specific legal frameworks designed to protect investors.
Because what happens if they aren't compliant?
Well, a non-compliant platform runs a very real risk of having its assets frozen by regulators.
Oh, wow.
Which means your tokens, no matter how securely they are held in your personal hardware wallet, basically represent a frozen asset. You can't do anything with them.
That is terrifying. And even if they are legally compliant, you know, a slick app doesn't fix a bad building.
Not at all.
It is incredibly easy to just open an app, get distracted by a beautiful dark mode interface and some gamified metrics, and forget what you're buying.
But an app doesn't generate yield.
Exactly. The underlying real estate does.
Right. So a platform's curation strategy is paramount. They must focus on properties with strong real-world fundamentals. We're talking prime locations, stable tenant demand, genuine long-term growth potential.
Not just any random building they could get the rights to.
Exactly. If a platform is just tokenizing distressed properties in declining neighborhoods simply to increase the sheer volume of assets they offer, they are just passing all that physical risk directly onto the token holder.
And speaking of the app itself, the guide highlights the user experience as a really critical evaluation point, too.
Yeah, UX is huge.
Because in this space, a complicated interface isn't just annoying, it's a financial hazard. I mean, we all know the absolute terror of a fat finger mistake when transferring digital assets.
Oh, my heart rate just went up thinking about it.
Right. If the platform's UI doesn't make the investment, the tracking, and the withdrawal process completely intuitive, it's just not worth the risk.
And that intuition has to extend to understanding their fee structure as well. This is a super common failure point for investors.
Oh, the hidden fees.
Yeah. You must understand exactly how the platform sustains its business model. Are their management fees skimmed right off the top of the rental yield?
Usually, yes.
Are there transaction fees every time you execute a trade? Are there performance-based charges?
And they love to hide those in the fine print.
If these fees are buried in some massive terms of service document rather than clearly displayed before you initiate a smart contract interaction, they will quietly erode your returns over time.
Okay, so let's say you found a platform that passes the regulatory smell test, the UI is foolproof, and the fees are transparent.
Okay, you're off to a good start.
But a trustworthy broker can still sell you a rotting house, right? Finding a secure platform is only step one. How do you actually audit the physical concrete when all you're looking at is a digital dashboard?
This is where discipline comes in.
Because when you open these platforms, the immediate instinct is to just scan down the list, find the property with the highest APY, and just click buy. I mean, we've been conditioned by pure DeFi to just endlessly chase the highest yield.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, treating real estate like a decentralized liquidity pool is just the most dangerous psychological trap an investor can fall into.
It's a completely different asset class.
Completely. And the guide is incredibly explicit about this. Chasing headline returns in real estate usually means taking on hidden asymmetrical risk.
Right.
A projected 15% yield looks incredibly attractive on screen, but you have to interrogate the mechanics of that projection.
Because that 15% yield projection might just be masking the fact that the building has terrible tenant turnover.
Or the roof needs a massive structural overhaul in 2 years and there's no reserve fund.
Exactly.
A stable, consistent, slightly lower income generated by, say, an anchor tenant with a 10-year lease is far more valuable to a long-term portfolio than aggressive, unrealistic projections.
So you really have to do a localized risk assessment.
You do. You have to ask, what are the macroeconomic conditions in that specific city? What is the regional employment data looking like?
Right. Are employers moving in or moving out?
Exactly. Are there incoming zoning laws that could impact the property's value? A trustworthy platform is going to provide all this data up front, but the investor must actually synthesize it.
It's almost like doing a home inspection, but you're doing it through data analytics.
It's exactly what it is.
And you also need to understand the governance of the asset, right? Like, how are decisions regarding the physical property actually made?
Yes. Governance is critical. If a pipe bursts in the middle of winter, who authorizes the repair funds? Does the platform management just make unilateral decisions, or do the token holders actually vote through a decentralized autonomous organization, a DAO?
You need absolute clarity on the operational structure.
And crucially, the exit strategy.
Right. How do you get out?
If the physical building is slated to be sold on the traditional market in, say, 7 years, what is the exact mechanical process for liquidating that SPV and distributing the fiat proceeds to the token holders?
Which honestly brings up probably the most complicated mechanic in this entire space, which is liquidity.
Yes. Liquidity in real estate is a whole other beast.
Because in pure crypto, you know, I can dump a token at 3 a.m. on a Sunday if the market suddenly spooks me. But a physical office building doesn't sell at 3 a.m.
It certainly does not.
So how does a platform actually provide a secondary market for an inherently illiquid physical asset without just totally crashing the token price?
This is a vital distinction that investors must grasp. The liquidity mechanisms vary wildly from platform to platform.
Okay, how so?
Well, some platforms use automated market makers, or AMMs. They maintain their own deep liquidity pools of stablecoins, allowing you to swap your real estate token instantly, much like a decentralized exchange.
Okay, that sounds convenient.
It is, but you will pay a slippage fee for that instant convenience.
Right. And if the pool drains because everyone panics and wants to sell at the exact same time, you're stuck.
Correct. You are holding a token you can't swap. Now, other platforms rely on peer-to-peer secondary order books. In that model, you can only sell your token if another investor places a matching buy order.
So it's like a traditional stock exchange.
Essentially. It might take hours or it might take weeks to find a buyer. And some platforms even require strict lockup periods where your tokens cannot be traded at all until a specific liquidity event occurs.
Wow.
So you must fundamentally align the liquidity mechanics of the token with your own personal time horizon before you ever initiate a transaction.
So what does this all mean for your actual wallet? I mean, we've explored the bridge between the smart contracts and the concrete. We know the failure mechanisms of bad platforms, and we know how to interrogate the asset.
We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we really have. But how do you actually deploy capital into this space safely without losing your shirt?
Well, the OSOL Gamma Guide actually provides a very clear deployment strategy for this, and they use their own platform as a case study for how to curate this exact experience.
Okay, how do they handle it?
OSOL Gamma is designed specifically to act as the filter. They handle the rigorous due diligence up front.
Right, the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Auditing the physical properties, structuring the legal compliance, and establishing all that smart contract architecture so that the investor doesn't have to literally fly across the country to inspect an industrial park.
They absorb the friction so you, the investor, only interact with the final curated opportunity.
Right. But, you know, even with a curated platform, human nature just hasn't changed.
Oh, of course not.
The guide is pretty clear on the deployment strategy here. You don't just dump your entire crypto portfolio into tokenized real estate on day one.
Absolutely not. Though it is tempting.
It is. But the recommended beginner strategy is highly methodical. First, start with a really small test allocation.
Just to get a feel for it.
Yes. You need to gain practical experience with how the platform actually operates. Watch how the smart contracts distribute the yield over a few cycles. Understand the tax reporting features. Just get comfortable with the mechanics before sizing up.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
And second, they suggest using these assets specifically as a macroeconomic anchor.
Yes. When the broader crypto market is being highly volatile, as it tends to do, your tokenized real estate should be just sitting there, isolated from the digital chaos, providing a steady, uncorrelated foundation.
I love that. And then third, you expand gradually across multiple properties. You definitely do not concentrate your entire real estate allocation into a single commercial building in one specific city.
No, you really want to balance the portfolio across different geographic locations and property types, you know, blending residential, commercial, and industrial assets.
Just to smooth out that long-term performance.
Exactly.
But let's be real about the psychology of investing in crypto for a second. The FOMO, the fear of missing out, is just incredibly powerful.
It is the strongest force in finance.
It really is. You see, a tokenized luxury beach resort offering these massive gamified yields on Twitter, and the immediate impulse is just to go all in.
And that impulse is exactly what will destroy a portfolio. The guide explicitly reminds investors that if a platform promises returns that seem too good to be true, they almost certainly are hiding catastrophic risk.
There is no magic in real estate.
None. It is a physical asset governed by the immutable laws of supply, demand, and physical depreciation.
The technology operates in milliseconds, but the asset itself operates in decades.
That's a great way to put it. It forces you to slow down and align with a long-term horizon, which is honestly a discipline the broader crypto space desperately needs right now.
It is a necessary evolution, I think.
Mm.
We are moving from the era of just rapid, wild speculation into an era of sustained, foundational wealth generation.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, let's bring this all together. Today, we've explored how tokenized property platforms take the absolute best architectural elements of blockchain technology.
The transparent ledgers, the automated smart contracts.
Right, and they apply them to the historic stability and passive income of physical real estate. By bridging the Oracle problem and utilizing secure legal structures like SPVs, they are radically lowering the barrier to entry.
It's revolutionary, really.
It is. They allow someone with a smartphone and a crypto wallet to own a fractional, legally protected piece of a high-rise and earn passive income without ever swinging a hammer or negotiating a commercial lease.
This raises an important question, really, for you to consider regarding your own investment architecture.
Yeah. What should they be asking themselves?
Well, as you evaluate your portfolio today, are you balancing your exposure to...
It is. But if this infrastructure works securely for a commercial high-rise, well, what happens when every physical space in your neighborhood, from the local coffee shop down the street, to the parking garage you use every day, to the municipal park, becomes a tokenized fractional market?
Oh, wow.
Right? How will that completely redefine our relationship with the physical world we walk through every single day? Are we still walking past concrete buildings, or are we literally walking through a living matrix of tradable digital data?
That is a fascinating thought.
It's a whole new world. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay insanely curious out there.